Words of wisdom from Proverbs for introducing our subject this morning. God bless you all. God bless you, young people. And all the rest of you, we're glad you're here to tag along with us this morning. It feels that way because we're kind of continuing the weekend here. I have been blessed to be here to share this time to receive. It's good to have the fellowship around the subjects, especially that we've been having the fellowship around. Generation gaps. What does the Bible have to say about a generation gap? What is a generation gap? How would you explain the feeling that comes to you when you think about a generation gap? Do you think about the perspective of what my parents feel, how my mom and dad feel? Do you think about grandma and grandpa and how they view life and your iPhone and your computer and your lifestyle? You think about the old people in your church? Maybe we should just say older people in your church. A generation gap. The thought came to my mind when we sang that last song this morning in relation to what Jesus has done for us. Speaking of gaps, has there ever been a gap so broad? Is the gap that lays between God and man. Has there ever been a gap that big? So generation gaps, we think about a different perspective because of what my background is in my formable years growing up as a youth, what's in my mind, my perspective, where I'm at in life, versus where you're at in life as a grandfather or as a young person. You know, we think about the gap of experience, what I'm going through right now, the gap of exposure, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a bit. But all of those, the distances that can create some measurable feel of distance in relationship, was there ever a gap the size of the gap between God and man? Can you think of any gap in relationship that would compete with the size of that gap between you and your God? And what did He do? Was that gap spannable? Could you span that gap? How did He span that gap? So my mind goes to Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your minds, right? We talked about the heart of man, the heart that lies between the ears and behind the eyes, as Brother Louis put it, by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled, brought together. The gap is spanned by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it really doesn't do us any good this morning to talk about spanning a generation gap if we don't know the power of the blood that spans the gap between you and God. Between me and God. It really doesn't do us any good if we don't have that frame of reference in our mind. So let that introduce the bridging the generation gap. So if you go to Webster's, you'll find out that they suggest the average generation, the average length of a generation is 30 years. I would have thought it to be a little less than that, but we'll take that for the number since Mr. Webster says so. 30 years. This is 2014. 30 years ago was 1984. What has happened in the last 30 years? Now, this is during this. Let me step out of our discussion for a moment. The time frame we have here is often Sunday school time frame. And I'm going to expect a little interaction here with you. Young people just forget about everybody else here. They haven't been here the rest of the time this weekend, so just relax and be free to share. But we are going to want some comments from another generation. So be prepared in a bit to share in relation to what things cause, in your mind, what things cause a generation gap? What are some of the things that cause it? But we want to spend most of our time then discussing how do we bridge it. And again, I would like to have some input from you. So don't be in neutral this morning with your thinker. Be in gear and we'll have some involvement from you. In 1984, we wouldn't have even had the discussion that we had yesterday that related to internet usage. In 1984, you would have said, "What's that?" None of you would have had, I think I'd be pretty sure about this, that none of you would have had, well, some of you weren't even thinking too much by 1984. All right, let's go a little broader. Few would have been the computers in our possession. Personal computers, the PC, in 1984. The cell phones. How many of you, brethren, think back? Can you think back to 1984? You got any landmarks without your wife sitting beside you? Did you have a cell phone in 1984? Raise your hand. Anyone here that knows they had a cell phone in 1984? I don't see any hands. I don't see any hands. Oh, it's a long time ago. 1984. 30 years is all. No cell phones. So forget the email. You deal by snail mail, we call it now, right? You put the letter in the box and you wait. And you wait. And you wait. Next time you sit down to chat, think about a 2 weeks wait for a response. The difference. That's how I grew up communicating with my folks when I went away from home for this or that or the other thing, went to Bible school. My wife just recently read a letter that my mom gave to her, that my mom gave to my wife, that I wrote home from Bible school. How many of you wrote a letter home from Bible school in the last couple years, young people? Oh, come on. Nobody? Nobody wrote a letter home. I guess maybe when you're just from Washington to Oregon, it's not far enough to write. Huh? How many of you texted home? Probably everyone that was in Bible school. All right. When you went to the airport in 1984, you could accompany your friend right to the terminal. And you could wave as they went down that little path out to the airplane. In 1984, when you got on the airplane, you could expect to be served a meal. And guess what? Your luggage didn't cost you another cent. There's a few other things you could think about there, but not really worth spending a lot of time with. In 1984, there were a lot of phones in our homes that were attached to the wall by this thing called a cord. And I got to thinking here not too long ago about whether my children had even been exposed to a corded phone. A couple of the older ones remembered when we had a corded phone in the house. Now, step back from 1984 to the previous 30 years. 1984 to 1954. Now, the back half of the congregation. You think about the changes that happened through those years. The thrust of the women's lib movement. The hippie movement. Through the early, late 50s, through the 60s, the rock movement, the anti-authority movement. Brother Louis kind of outlined some of those things for us yesterday. So maybe in that 60 years ago and forward 30 years, some of the gap that was there related a whole lot more to some of these attitude and social things, and maybe you think a little bit more about the gap in the last 30 years relating a little more to technology because of the advancements. Is there a reason for generation gaps? Can we prevent the gap? Our topic isn't preventing the gap. I don't think we can prevent the gap. Young people, can you force the innovative technical devices that are at your fingertips? Have you tried to teach your grandfather how to operate the computer? Would you try to force those things on that generation so that they could understand a little bit more what's in your life? Would you ask your young people to forego everything that wasn't present in 1960 so that they could feel how it felt in your youth? Well, we say no to those things. Life changes. We accept the fact. And we adapt. We're not going to prevent the difference in gap, simply also because, well, young ladies, we have you at your stage of thinking about, oh, what do you think about at this stage of life? You think about sewing, and you think about your jobs, your experiences that you have with other young people. Maybe you think about some BS service. Maybe you think about just all the things that youth girls think about. And then you step up a generation, and you've got the moms that are not so terrible much older than some of you, but you've got the moms that are dealing with the babies to teenage, and you know, your topic is your children. And then you go a little farther and you've got the grandmothers, and their topic may be their grandchildren. Just because we're at different places in life will never eliminate the gap. If for no other reason, we won't eliminate the gap. How do we bridge it? How do we bridge it? Or do we need to worry about it? Maybe some of you have the book, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, which is a compilation of doctors' experiences. And in that book, Dr. Brand tells of a big, burly Welshman that comes into his office. And he comes in the office with this contraption on his arm of steel and leather over his shoulder and arm. And the man comes in and he wants some help. And so the doctor removes this contraption. And as the doctor removes the contraption, he sees what the situation is underneath that contraption, because here in this man's bicep is kind of a flabby, floppy, pliable place that doesn't really stay very well in place. And he asked the man what happened. And the man had had a tumor in his arm. And the bush doctor, the doctor that did surgery for him to remove that tumor, took out a section of his bone in his upper arm. And so every time this man, now you know what happens in your upper arm here, you've got your bicep. And when you try to lift something with that, you've got your bicep that pulls on your lower muscle in your hand to lift that thing. And what your bone does is prop that. So you create a bit of a triangle to do your lifting. But here we're missing a link. And so whenever this man would try to lift something, these bones would just come together. There was nothing there. He couldn't use his arm. So with his ingenuity, the doctor that had done the surgery had also made the contraption for him, a leather contraption that forced the steel to stay in place, to act as a brace to replace the bone in his upper arm so that he could actually lift and move his arm. The reason the man came to Dr. Wand was because he wanted something a little different than the contraption. And so Dr. Wand went to work and he was actually able to graft bone into this man's arm and to get that thing to function again so that he had the gap was closed and he could use his arm. I would like to suggest this morning that as useless as your arm is, without that bone, with that gap in there, as useless as your arm is for lifting that 10-pound weight, that is somewhat illustrative of the church going to work without considering how to span the generation gap. The church going to work and trying to do her duties when there's such a gap between young and old that they can't function together. They cannot function together. We want to notice some things that the Bible says in relation to generations relating to each other, but I'd like to do that largely during the time frame that we talk about things bridging the gap. Initially here, I'd like to refer to two verses. Paul, when he talked about Timothy, he said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother first, and then in thy mother, and now in Timothy." Spanning the generation gap. Paul was taking note of how faith had been passed on, how faith had been transferred from one generation to another to another. If that is going to happen, this gap somehow must be spanned. If it isn't spanned, we won't have a transfer of faith and conviction and practice. Another interesting verse is Proverbs 27, verse 10. And there the wise man says, "Thine own friend and thy..." Do you know? I'm not sure that I would have been able to say. "Father's friend, forsake not." Think about that. Thine own friend and thy father's friend, forsake not. You know, it's so easy for us to only relate to those who are in our little circle that are involved in the things that we do, that interact in the things that we interact with, that know about the things that we want to talk about. But here the wise man Solomon says, don't forsake your father's friend or your mother's. Don't forsake the previous generation. Don't just walk away and say, they can't understand. Bridge the gap. Bridge the gap. All right, we already commented that we cannot eliminate the differences in the accessories, in the tools, in the technology, in whatever else might be available today that wasn't available in the previous generation. We can't eliminate those things. We can't just ignore, well, I guess we could, but it wouldn't be profitable for us to just ignore that and to live as though that didn't exist. We can't require the older to function like the younger, nor can we require the younger to function like the older. You know, I believe it was
in 1996, the year that I owned my first PC. In 1996, I was working for John Yoder, and he called me into the office one day, and he had on his desk a laptop and a printer and a few other things there. And you got to know John to appreciate this. John was a man who did all of his books on paper, in columns, in ledgers. He didn't need a computer to run his business. He didn't run his business via computer. In later years, other people ran his business via computer, but John never ran his business via computer. The reason he called me up to the office is because there was an employee, another employee, who needed some money and brought in this computer, had PC Bible study on it even. It was a preacher who needed to sell this computer because he needed a little additional money for a down payment for a church that their church was purchasing. So he brought in his personal study computer and wanted to sell it to John because John was a preacher. John called me up to the office and he said, "You don't teach old dogs new tricks." He said, "I can't use this thing. Why don't you take it and use it?" Well, I had been ordained for 4 years, and a computer was pretty new to me too. But John thought that I was a young enough dog that maybe I could adapt. There's something that I appreciate about that. I bought the computer. There's something that I appreciate about that. You know, John didn't just throw that thing out. Well, no. I never needed it. Nolan doesn't need it either. I'm not even going to mention it to him. Because I made it all these years without it. He can make it without it too. No. John saw beyond that for whatever reason, and I'm not sure why, what provoked him to call me up there and to say, "Well, why don't you try this thing?" In that, John spanned a bit of a gap. He reached to span the gap. Now, we can't eliminate a lot of things that contribute to gaps. But think for a moment about some things that contribute to gaps that we can eliminate. All right, I'd like your comments. I'll get you started. What are some things that we can eliminate that contribute to the gap? So one of the first things that came to my mind was a critical, belittling attitude. "You're just an old fogey. You can't understand this. You never will. Don't even try." Okay, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking from your perspective. Or, what's the reverse of that? All these young people want is the newest and the latest on the market. Always reaching for something more innovative. Okay, so does that create a gap? Does that create something? Does that put a distance between you and a previous generation? What do you think? Will that put, when you feel that, if you have felt that, does that create some distance for you? Or fathers, mothers, grandparents, when you feel that from the young people, does it create some distance? Does it make you need to reach just a little farther to be in touch with them? I think we understand that. That is something that creates a gap. All right. That's one. What's another thing?
We're gonna list just a few of those so we have them in front of us. Okay, critical attitudes. What's another one?
Yeah.
Respect bridges the gap. All right, so maybe we need another list going here too. Respect will bridge that. Okay, some more.
Strained relationships. Time spent with each other.
Say a bit more to that. Are you giving a negative or a positive?
Either one. You have to spend time to build bridges the gap.
So are you saying spending time creates the gap?
No, spending time with each other.
All right. Alright, so spending time.
Obviously, you have to be across the gap. So spending time with old people and new people together.
Spending only time with your generation and isolating yourself to that may increase the gap. So your point is well taken. We must be spending the time with the person on the other side of the gap. If we're going to help bridge it. All right, what else?
Complacency.
I'm going to say for busyness, I'm going to say preoccupied. You know, busyness, hang on to yours there a minute, Scott, was that you that gave that other one? Busyness, we're never going to get rid of busyness, right? And we all can feel guilty for being too busy, and perhaps we should have more guilt for being as busy as we are. But in our busyness, are we so preoccupied that we are oblivious to others, their perspective, their needs? Scott, what was yours again?
Somehow we're judgment into that.
Okay, judgmental. All right, so when we look at someone... All right, here's a good one. Young people, when you view... Go ahead and grin. When you view the older generation, and you look at them, and you look at what's going on in their life, and you look at their response, why are you responding this way? If you were to walk the shoes of their 30 previous years, might you feel the same way? It's so easy for us to judge each other in this generation gap thing, to condemn each other, to pass opinion, to become critical, because we haven't walked the life that has taken them from point A to point B and brought them to the conclusions that they've concluded and expressed in their teaching to you, or whatever that may be. You haven't walked that road, and fathers and mothers, don't we have to work to understand that fact that, you know, well, why can't you just understand? Well, how do they understand? They didn't live in 1960 to 1980. So how are they going to understand some of the things that formed your opinion and feeling? And so it takes a little work to explain, and it also takes a desire to understand. Do you have any others we want to put here?
Differences.
All right. Simple differences. Someone else?
Pride. There's a side that scoffs that judgmental or fear really fills in. Maybe not so scared where the young people are, but we're scared where they're going. We're not scared where the young people are. We're scared where they're going to make us go. So fear.
Is that distrust?
Yeah, probably.
Distrust, fear. We could probably go on with the list. What about holding to the position that change in itself is wrong? Because it's change, it's wrong. Will that create any gaps? What about considering tradition old-fashioned excessive baggage? You know, just because it was done for the last 30 years doesn't mean that I've got to think that way and do it that way, right? And that's largely right. On the other hand, remember that reinventing the wheel is not necessarily going to profit you. You need to rethink why you are where you are and why you believe what you believe. But to try to reinvent the whole process and to think that somehow you can come up with a better way to express nonconformity, for example, or a better way to introduce church membership, or a better way to, well, why can't we just be baptized without church membership? You know, what? How do you stand on Scripture on that one? You know, why can't we just change some of these things? What about this close communion thing? Why can't I bring my friends and let them have communion? You know, you want to reinvent the way we do things. All right. Think about it. That there has been a process that has brought the practice of the brotherhood to what it is. There has been a process. Don't disregard that process. It doesn't mean you can't think and understand what that process was, but don't disregard the process. Don't throw it out. All right, that will contribute to that. From both sides, change, anything that's change is wrong. That creates a gap. And also considering tradition, just simply baggage, that too will create a gap. Embracing change for the sake of variety. Well, a number of things. Let's talk about what you have. Let me just name a couple of things here. What do you have when you don't bridge the gap? You may have a church with the wisdom of age, but without the confidence and strength and energy of youth. Or you may have the strength and vision of youth without the blessing of the experience of age. Do you need each other? Do these bones need each other? Do the old and the young need each other? Has God designed it that way? Has He not? To depend on each other. And so, we don't want a church that way. We don't want a church without the team spirit. We don't want to fail to pass on truth. What bridges the gap? Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says to us, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." And honor and preferring there, if you were to do a more literal translation there, in value, giving preference one to another. In value, giving preference. The younger valuing the older, and the older valuing the younger. Are you going to bridge it without seeing value on the other side? You won't bridge it. Valuing each other. Young people, to sit back and to say, right now, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But because I am where I am in life, and because you, maybe you're speaking to your parent, maybe you're speaking to your elder in some way. Because you are where you are, and because you have come from where you are, I'm okay with this. I'll accept it. I can take it. Can you bridge the gap by valuing the perspective of the other side? Can you, fathers, mothers, grandparents, reach out to value the perspective of your youth? There may be a particular perspective that you will help them see and understand that it's a wrong perspective. It's a wrong path. But there are perspectives they hold that you can value and appreciate. And those you can express. All right, value each other. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And so when you try to consider each other, you begin to look on the things of others and you say, okay, Dad, what makes you feel this way? Do you know how valuable that question is? Dad, why? Mom, why are you saying this? Not, why are you saying this? It's stupid to think that way. No. Why are you saying this? A desire to receive instruction. A desire to understand. Reaching to bridge the gap. Why do you feel this way? We have the verse right prior to this. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. I think another way to bridge the gap is to emphasize the points of commonness. If you begin to itemize and you constantly focus on the points of difference and disagreement, you will broaden and enlarge and accumulate more and more things that are in that category. And that goes for whether the young people are focusing on the older generation or the older generation is focusing on the young. We can run each other into the ground by focusing on all the things that we have that we do not have in common. Now those things, obviously we need to consider them, but points of commonness. Think about those things and build on those. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. And when he had given... Wrong verse. Chapter 10, verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Every man another's wealth. As I was growing up, I think it might have started when I was 5, 6 years old, somewhere in that time frame. There was an older man, probably 50, 55 years my superior in our congregation. Every year at my birthday, I got a can of Planters peanuts from this older brother. I think until I was in my teens, maybe it quit when I got to 13, 14 years old, I'm not sure. And he did it to a few others. I don't think he did it to everybody in the congregation, but he picked out some and tried to nurture relationship. He tried to bridge a gap. And you know, my growing up years and my thoughts about that man, it didn't matter to me whether he was 55 years older or not. I knew he had interest in my life. I knew he cared about me. And it wasn't difficult to talk with him. He did something to span the gap. And what did he do? Planters peanuts? No, Planters Peanuts didn't span the gap. But it was the small, intentional deed of kindness that showed interest in my life that spanned that gap. So, grandpas, go ahead and take your grandchildren fishing. Preachers, go ahead and take your young people out to eat. Span the gap with opportunities to convince and to convey genuine interest. Young people, is it all up to them? Do you know how much it means for you to step up to your minister ahead of a time when he's leaving for meetings? I know you can't relate to going away and preaching for a week. But do you know how much it means to step up to him and say, I'll be praying for you while you're gone? Have you done it? Very small thing. A very small thing to span the gap. But it'll do wonders. Or to go over to his wife's house one evening with a few things for the children and to sit with mom and entertain the children. A very small thing. It'll take 2 hours of your evening. But it'll make worlds of difference in the way that she and you will relate in the future. Even if you're 40 years apart. Little things showing interest. 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. Be respectful. Be respectful when you have that why, that three-letter word that is so prominent in our minds at your stage of life. Not just for you, it was for all of us when we were at your stage of life, and some of us it hangs on for a little longer than that. Why? I want to understand. I want to understand that it's a better reason than just because grandma's pan wasn't big enough to hold the turkey. You know, that's why it was always cut in half or whatever. You know, that story. The things that are handed down from generation to generation. You want to know why? There is a way to ask why. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Respect each other. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters. Respect each other. And so from the older generation, you look at the younger and you say, well, how foolish. No, you don't say that, but that's the feeling that we sometimes have when we view the choices, the impulsiveness of youth. But if we approach them with that attitude, how far will we get in spanning the gap? How far will we get? But if we come with, you know, when I was your age, I did this. And it even exceeds your foolishness. We were there once. Maintain a teachable spirit. Looked at a few verses in Proverbs already. I won't turn to any more of those. In Titus chapter 2, verse 4, it says of the older women that they may teach the younger women to be sober and to love their husbands and to love their children. And I'm not going to isolate it to older women teaching younger women, but I would like us to think about this thing. Are we losing the art of the older teaching the younger? Are we losing the art? Do we spend time with the older teaching the younger? Younger, are we absorbing? Are we willing to absorb? That will help to bridge the gap. You know, if you older ones, for years I wished that one of the fathers in our congregation would explain, would get up and go through some of the mistakes that he made and how those mistakes affected and how I can avoid those mistakes in my own parenting. But it's pretty difficult to get a middle-aged brother up front and to give a talk on child training and for him to just bare his heart in the mistakes he knows he made so that the younger generation will not make the same mistake. Brethren, can we do it? Can we do it? Part of teaching is not just holding up an ideal, but part of teaching is exposing the path that we've walked. The pluses and the minuses. Why we are where we are. Sometimes it's just simply this thing of maturity that creates the gap. But in Ephesians chapter 4, we have the giving of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and they're not all the same age. I'm sure they're not. But we have the giving of a variety of people for a variety of purposes and a variety of ages for the perfecting of the saints till we come in the unity of the faith, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Stability. A willingness to grow in maturity. You know, refusing to grow up and hanging on to our immaturity. Insisting that I do things my way and creating a gap, even in appearance, in our expressions of nonconformity. Young people, that should be a concern to you. If people can walk into our churches and they see an older set functioning and living in one way, and they see a younger set functioning and living another way, that should be a concern to us. It is our responsibility as young people to blend in with the practice that has been established, not to try to start another practice. Because history has proved that another practice typically is a downward trend. Don't create the gap between grandmother and yourself. Okay, I'm not saying that you have to go to her closet and get out her shoes from the 50s. That's not what I'm saying. But I think you know what I mean. I think you know what I mean. Don't create the gap. Because a gap leads to a degeneration of truth. Appreciate what has been before you and help hold the line. See, we can do so many things to create that gap, create the difference. Willingness to grow in maturity. Don't hang on. Don't revel in your immaturity. Don't be satisfied to stay that way. I wanted to close with the example of Paul and Barnabas and Mark. And when they came to take their missionary journey, the second one, I believe it was, and you see the first one, Mark had left them. They came to a certain point, Mark walked away. And Paul says, no, we're not going to take Mark on this next one. We're not going to take Mark. And Barnabas says, yeah, let's take Mark. Paul says, no, we're not going to take Mark. Barnabas says, yeah, I'm going to take Mark. The contention was so great, they separated. We know the story. But you know, down the road, a few years, down the road, Paul said to Luke, he said, bring Mark with you, for he is profitable unto me. What had happened? I believe there's a bit of a generation gap there. Paul didn't really relate to why Barnabas had hung it up. And we don't know all the reasons why he hung it up. But he kept reaching out. Barnabas spanned the gap much more faithfully than Paul did initially. But Paul was willing to step back and to span that gap and to realize that that Mark yet had value to him. And he talks about him in several other places. be willing to, don't take offense right away. Mark could have holed up and said, okay, if Paul doesn't want me, then I'm not going to go anywhere with this thing. I'm not even going to go with Barnabas. Don't hole up. Reach out. And fathers and mothers and grandparents, don't give up. Continue to reach out. Be a Barnabas. Span the gap. Show interest. May God bless you.